So that was wonderful, Leslie. So good. She shared so many great points, and it was a lot. It was full. It was wonderful. And we want to just kind of continue the conversation with this group of ladies here who are very brave to come up and be part of that conversation. You have to be brave to get on a panel sometimes, but God is good, right? He gives us the gifts for that, right? Amen. Okay, so Leslie, you know, Denise, Debbie, and then most of you know also Sarah, but if you don't, this is Sarah Ranghell, and she's part of serving in women's ministry, many things she'll be sharing in a little bit, but so we've asked them to kind of keep the conversation going for us. So I'm going to start with Denise. And I've asked her to share with you the really kind of the heart of our women's ministry in this area of servanthood, and which is an extension of the heart of Pastor Rob and the umbrella of Calvary Vista. So that you can just know where our hearts are for you in this place. So Denise.
In light of servanthood in the church and in the women's ministry, definitely, you know, our heart is to foster that environment where we're all just serving. And I think Calvary Vista is a beautiful reflection of that. Just so many people in this body that are serving in one way or another. And it's beautiful and it's healthy. Mm-hmm. And isn't it fun? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun. It's been fulfilling. And it's fruitful. And so in regards to women's ministry, you know, our hope and desire is that all of you feel seen, that you feel that that there are opportunities. And so that's why we're always trying to, you know, you can be involved in this or that, and just trying to just give you opportunity and draw you in. So that's really, really important to us. As far as for this women's ministry, and we really can't do any of it without one another. And that's how God has designed it. So, our goal definitely too is to model what servant leadership looks like. And if I could wrap it up in a quick little nutshell, I think Romans 12 is a really good place to go. That models servant leadership, and we don't have time to read through all of it today, but I encourage you to do that on your own. But there's three things that really stand out in Romans 12, and it is the motivation, the attitude, and then our actions. So our motivation, our attitude, and our actions, and it's something that I think we always, you know, want to examine in our own lives. I know Yvonne and I and our leadership team, we're always having to examine that because sometimes we do it really well. And like Leslie said, sometimes we don't. And if it's not here in ministry, it's in our own homes. I am literally serving Rob right now in a very tangible way. I was laughing that this week is on servanthood because I have to get on my knees and help him get his socks and shoes on and, you know, just be there in these tangible ways. And I told him, don't get too used to me being on mine. He's serving you, babe. But, you know, sometimes we do well and sometimes it is a struggle. So motivation, what should be our motivation? It's in view, Romans 12 says, in view of God's mercy, in view of him. That should be our view at all times, not other people, not position, not power, not all of that stuff. It should always be looking unto Jesus, that he's in our view. That is our motivation, who he is and what he's done for us. Our attitude, Romans 12 tells us, it needs to be humility. We all know this, right? It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And because really God is the one that is the giver of all the gifts we have, our natural giftings and our supernatural giftings. And then lastly, it's an attitude of humility. And I love Chick-fil-A. I mean, I like eating there, but I love how they foster and train up these young people. And what are the two things they always say? How may I serve you? And it's my pleasure. How may I serve you? And when we say thank you, they say it's my pleasure. And I'm like, oh, if we could just take hold of that and really sincerely mean it in our own hearts toward Jesus. How may I serve you? And Lord, it's my pleasure to serve you in whatever you call me. And then the last one is our actions. And that's also in verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. And so Leslie already touched on that. But I would say in a nutshell for women's ministry, those are the three really tangible things we can always go back and look at. What is my motive? What is my attitude? And what are my actions? And we know, right, girls, that we can have all the giftings and the education and you know, all the stuff, you know, to make things happen and do things well. But if it's not with, if it's without love, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us we're just this clanging, noisy, irritable cymbal, and we don't want to be that. So,
awesome, wonderful, good little lens. You know, check my motives, check my attitude, check my action. That's something good little practice. The grid. Run your decisions and your choices like through the grid. Does it meet all those things? So. I love that, Leslie. I love that. I didn't catch it last night, but you used that phrase of ladling love. You know, that was so sweet. And then Denise is talking on love. And in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10, which is one of the passages that talks about giftings and serving, it says, above all, starts with that, have fervent love for one another. And then it goes on to say, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Leslie made reference to that. We have some natural things, but there's spiritual gifts, supernatural gifts. So, Debbie, I'm going to go to you, and I'm going to ask you to give us the bird's eye view of what are the spiritual gifts? Why do we have them? What's the purpose?
Well, I think one of the elements to remember is that the Lord is the one, and to each one, and I think it's a very wrong thing for us to minimize that and feel like, well, others have this spiritual gift, mm-hmm. but not me, and you're just wrong. It's a contradiction from God Almighty. He's implanted in you, and then how does it manifest? And I was just awakened almost with this remembrance of this woman, and her category was she did what she could. And if you remember the story in Mark, I believe it's Mark 4, 14, she must have woken up one day and said, I have this alabaster box of expensive oil. I'm just going to go and pour it on Jesus' head. And that might have not made sense to her, and kind of a random thing and maybe an awkward thing. And Jesus declared, he said, this moment will always be remembered because you anointed me for my burial. And to me, it just speaks volumes of what has the Lord given you. And I was talking to Kathy, and I think I complained to her one day. I've got this great big house. I'm tired of this big old house. It's just so big. It's a lot to take care of. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, basically, almost audibly, excuse me? Like, your house? I don't think that's the way it is. This is my house. And he used it this weekend. I had 12 people spend the night. And breakfast, lunch, and dinner coming just off the mission field in Mexico. And we had a riotous time. I had a hard time finding 12 extra pillows. But other than that, a trip to the Costco, you know, get you all fooded up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want to read a quote that on spiritual gifts, too. And actually, this is from one of our pastor, Aaron Sabio, and his brothers put this together. Spiritual gifts are tools God gives Christians to do the work of ministry, to fulfill the Great Commission, to reach, baptize, and teach, and to minister to one another. Every Christian receives at least one at the moment of salvation. They're not rewards. They're not natural talents, a specific place of service in terms of position, I think is what he's saying. It's not age group appropriate. And they express themselves through various ministries, which in turn accomplish a specific result. They are the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the believer. It's a supernatural capacity for service to God. He gives us the supernatural desire to perform the duties of the gift. Their gifts are tools for building the church. A spiritual gift is a divine calling with a divine responsibility, because what God has gifted you to do, he has called you to do, and what he has called you to do, he has gifted you to do. I love that. So what is that principle, all these principles, so what does it look like in real life? So Sarah is going to be next on the docket here. So the Lord's called you to serve in many different ways. So I just wanted to ask you to share, like, how did it start? What were the initial thoughts or promptings? How did the doors open? And how did it unfold in real, tangible life?
Yeah, I have had the amazing opportunity to serve in many ministries here and also outside Calvary. But the start of it for me was American Heritage Girls, which is, if you're not familiar, it's a troop that we run out of Calvary Vista here for young girls to serve the Lord and their community and earn badges. So I had always wanted to put my daughter in that. And then I heard that it was in danger of closing because the leaders had to step away. And so the Lord just pretty much told me one day, you're going to step into that. And I was like, what? Because I didn't know anything about it. We had never been a part of it. I didn't know any of the rules or anything like that. But he just placed it on my heart because I had this desire to not only keep it going for my daughter, but for all the other girls that had been in it for many years. So he told me, you're going to do this. And you're just going to have to fully trust in me. Like, 100%.
So
yes.
Pause for a minute. Okay. So how did he say that to you? When you say he told me I'm going to do it, share how? Because a lot of times we wonder, well, what do you mean by that? The Lord say
it? Okay, so it wasn't like an audible thing, but I feel like the Holy Spirit like speaks to our hearts. Like you just have this a soft whisper sometimes, or this little like nudge, and then it makes you go like step back and pray about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just, I don't know how to explain it, but I just feel
that's
it
perfect.
In my the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and then obviously I prayed about it, and I spoke to my husband, and we prayed about it. And you know, it's in those situations where I don't know what I'm doing at all. Mm-hmm. I just have to fully trust in the Lord, and he made a way. He led me through that. It wasn't always easy. I served on the board and as a troop coordinator for about a year and a half, 2 years. And just this past year, I stepped away from that to serve in other ministries. But it's just kind of that stepping out in faith. And I was reading my one-year Bible a couple of days ago, and James 2:22, I think, was talking about Abraham and his faith. But it's the action that makes our faith complete. And that really resonated with me because, you know, we have faith in our Lord. He's good. He's proven himself time and time again. But what do we do with that? Where's the action behind it? And just stepping out in faith that, okay, he called me to this. He's going to equip me and he's going to get me through it, whatever that looks like.
Awesome. Beautiful. And you serve at the school. Did you do Solutions for a little while too?
Oh, we're still doing it. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you get involved with Solutions for Change? And some people might not know what Solutions
for Change
is.
Solutions for Change is an amazing program here in Vista that helps women, families with children overcome life on the streets, drugs, addiction, stuff like that. We have such a heart for that community. So we've been serving there for almost 4 years on and off, but my husband is part of the Go in Peace ministry also here. And we started going and they were doing a Bible study with the residents. And I would go at that time and help with childcare because while the parents are doing the Bible study, they need someone to watch the kids. And so, I'm not going to lie. I feel like I kind of got dragged into that one just a little bit, but
sometimes that is how God works.
God can still use that. Yeah, he still used it. And so that was actually a huge blessing just to be able to, you know, speak life and love and tell these little kids about Jesus, and who many of them don't even know. Jesus. And so now I'm actually in the Bible teaching room with my husband and some of the other storytellers in there. And that's been such a blessing just to see how God is moving in those people's lives. A lot of them are attending church here now,
yeah,
getting baptized. It's been such a blessing to me.
So much fruitfulness comes from simple acts of service. So I love that, like with HG, it started with just a personal situation with her daughter, you know, and then saw, you know, that, oh my goodness, this might change. And right away, the Lord was talking. And I think that's key is like, because I know Sarah and we've talked, like, you're keeping yourself in a posture of hearing God's voice. That's very key in knowing where would God have me serve? And then often too, it is something like with solutions, something they went through, you know, her husband went through the Go in Peace, the different classes. And then God stirs us to be set free and be transformed. And then he puts us in the place to do that for others. So these are just the little tips. What else? Other gals on the panel, what are some of the ways that you might see an area? Deb, go ahead. Okay, Leslie.
Well, mine sort of correlates with Sarah's in that sometimes it's your situation that changes. And so sometimes God uses those circumstances and he will, if you listen, he'll direct you in a way that you will be able to use your gifts. He'll call you to something so that you can put your gifts to use where maybe you don't even recognize them. For me, years ago during the recession, I had a business in art glass. And then that sort of fell off during the recession because nobody needs art in recession. And so, but they do need care. And so I had sort of started thinking and praying, well, what am I going to do to make some money? And I had had care of my grandmother and my dad for a while. I had a great friend who had many surgeries and I had helped her out of many times when she'd come home from the hospital. And I, you know, I felt in myself that God was saying, use those skills. I'm going to gift you for this. And I always kind of felt that I had a calling. I always loved seniors. I had a heart for them. And I know that was from God because it takes a lot of patience, you know, to be sometimes the ear that has heard that same story 100 times that their wife just goes, oh my goodness, you know. And so he kind of directed me that way. And so I have been in and was in the companion care business, mostly for dementia patients for many years. And then in that, God was using that gift in me to help those people, to pray with them or to just show them God's love in a different way. Oftentimes it was a couple, two of the longest people that I care for. It was a couple where the wife was still in very good health, but the husband was failing. And I also, he gave me such a gift of seeing the heart of these women in their marriages where they wanted to keep their husband at home as long as they could, as long as they could get some help. Because sometimes it's very trying, that wife or the partner that is the well one through that time of the other one failing has to take on so many responsibilities, all the responsibilities for the home, for the cars, for insurance, for investments, for everything. I mean, it's incredibly overwhelming. And sometimes they just need a break. And sometimes, and of course, dementia never gets better. So sometimes I would start off with these families for one day a week, maybe for 3 or 4 hours. And then it would grow to 2 days. As the need got more for them, they would need more help. And I was really blessed in learning about that maybe one of my spiritual gifts, or my only spiritual gift, might be helps, that I'm eager to help other people when maybe another person wouldn't. You know, there are so many that gifts that you just find that God will show you as you walk with him. You know, if you have the gift of mercy, he'll show you because you'll be the one that will want to help when others would just walk by. Or, you know, sometimes it's just a natural thing. And because he wants us to use our gifts. He wants us to know how we're gifted by him in these special, wonderful ways that are to promote his kingdom and to glorify him. And so it's important for us to try to find out what is our gift. I mean, we only have so much time on this earth and it's growing short. And if he wants us to use it, we should know what it is, you know, and try to practice it, use it, step up, try it out, you know, because he's gifted you with it. He's going to make it work. Uh-huh.
Debbie, did you have one? How does God reveal our
I really wanted to share about how inside these doors there's multitudes of moments, unofficial moments. I remember teaching one time, and as everyone went to their groups, someone stayed on the front row, and she was crying so hard, her nose was running. She couldn't stop. She couldn't breathe. And so I sat down beside her for a while. It turned out that she'd come out of drugs. She was ready for the next thing, but just didn't know where and what. And we became friends. I took her on a mission trip like 3 weeks later to Mexico. And then she started having girls sleep on her couch. And then Ken Graves called and said, "Do you have anybody that can start a women's program?" And I think I got her. Sent her up to Maine, a little California girl up to Maine. And God used her instrumentally to start at least maybe six other recovery programs. And one of those 12 people that was at my house for several days, one of them is her key disciple that she led to the Lord, discipled, and now that woman runs about 5 women's recovery houses in Pennsylvania. So, you know, just saying, "Why are you crying so hard?" You know, can, I mean, there's people all around us here in the church.
Yeah, so there's, how I see it is there's open doors, in other words, like invitations. They pray about coming and helping, you know, in this thing. We hear invitations a lot from the stage, from the view, but also the personal invitations make such a difference. Okay. When you actually approach someone and invite them in, they're so open to that. And then it's just seeing needs. And I watch it happen. You know, there's women, they don't just walk by the trash on the floor here at the church. You know, it's the little things. You know, there's a woman who comes every Saturday by herself and comes in here and realigns all the chairs and puts all those pocket things and straightens them out. You don't know her name. You know, she's just faithful. But it's just like there's so many ways to serve. It doesn't have to be a specific position or title, or it's just it's the house of the Lord and it's the body of Christ. So praying with people, loving on, giving meals, there's so many ways.
So many ways.
Open doors, needs, and then there are times where God will do a supernatural anointing or calling on people's lives. And so those are the three ways that I see that.
Yeah. How he does awesome. That. Those are good. And I will say that sometimes when it is an invitation for maybe a specific role, and I know for our ministry, it always comes with the invitation is to pray about serving. And I will say that's such an important step that you do take the time to pray and ask the Lord, is this something I should do? And I think sometimes that seems like, oh, of course, that's a natural thing. But you know what? Sometimes we don't do it. And we had a gal, and she, we asked her to be a leader this session, and she came back and she said yes. And then about a week later, she came back and said, "You know what? I never even prayed about that. I'm not supposed to do that." Now, she's more than qualified. God would completely show up on her behalf. But he knew what was down the road for her in the coming weeks. And so that's the thing that's important about remembering that God gives the gifts as it pleases him. And he sets us in the positions for his purposes and pleasure. So he should definitely be a part of that decision in when you're praying before the Lord, whether it's a little thing or a big thing. And then one other thing, I think sometimes when you're trying to, you know, when you hear about spiritual gifts, you'll hear about take a spiritual gift assessment or a test. And then we have packets with information for you we're going to give you out at the end. But they're not the end all, but sometimes it can help. And we've given you pretty good descriptions and all the scripture references for what the Bible says are the spiritual gifts and why they're given. So sometimes that's helpful, you know, to do one of those and think, you know, as you answer all those questions and then you at the end you go, "Oh, I'm a helps person," or "Oh, I'm a, you know, mercy person." I mean, I'm never the mercy person. Even when I know the answer to that question, I'm like, I'm never the mercy person, you know? So So, okay, let's hear real quick down the line. Start with Sarah. What's a blessing that you have seen from serving the Lord?
Oh, so many. Well, there's many. So I see how our serving affects our daughter, right? She sees us serving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she goes with us to solutions. So that's, you know, that's important to me because I want her to have a love for Jesus and his people and see needs and be able to step in and help when that's needed. And then just in personal growth in myself, just, you know, God uses those situations to shine a light sometimes on my own heart that needs to be corrected or healed and then used, you know, for his kingdom. So I think just spiritual growth in myself has been huge, just stretching and calling me into uncomfortable situations sometimes and that he can use all of that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Debbie?
Anna, I wanted to mention, as you look at the assessment for spiritual gifts, you'll see a gift, and maybe you think of someone else that has that. You're drawn to it, but you don't quite fit their mold. But, you know, for instance, I feel like I have the gift of encouragement, but it's not as much, oh, poor baby, you can make it. You know, it's kind of like a swift kick and a hug. You know, we're just different how the Lord uses us in that gift. Mm-hmm. Some people have the gift of hospitality. They don't invite them to their house. They make them feel welcome in God's house. Yeah. So it, the way we apply it and who we are, if God puts a little tug on your heart, like Yvonne said, fall on your knees. God, is this you?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then what an honor and privilege to serve the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, from a young age, that was just always the cry. I just want to serve you, Lord. And to know that Jesus' final example and word to the disciples and for us, the church, was the example of servanthood, washing other people's feet and, mm-hmm. I've given you, I've shown you, now you go and do. And so that's really the one we want to please, right? More than pleasing others and getting the accolades of that. We want to put a smile on our Abba Father's face.
Yes, the rewards of serving are amazing. And he promises us that, doesn't he? When we diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of that. And when you're brave enough or strong enough or weak enough to step into something, then he will meet you there. And it's sometimes, and there's so many rewards. One of them is just, I think, just a feeling of rightness. When you are serving him, you have a better attitude. Just like it said, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus. And when you keep that in mind, even the most menial thing can be extremely rewarding. And as women, we know we do a lot of menial things in our lives, in our homes and such, but you can have a right attitude about it. And for me, one of my greatest rewards was meeting one of my very best friends, agreeing to serve. It was a call out for help with Christmas decorations one year. I guess it's 15 years ago, maybe 14 years ago. And I love Christmas decorating. Terry loves Christmas decorating. We just showed up one Saturday, just like they're making a call the Saturday after Thanksgiving, show up and help. And it's so much fun. And there were boxes of greenery and bows and a zillion things back in that back room. And I can't remember who was the head, maybe it was you even, that just said, okay, you two take this box and all the stuff and go decorate the front of the church. You know, we had never met each other before, but we were paired perfectly. And we, 4 or 5 hours, we sat, we made bows, we did greener, and we just kind of fit and everything went together. And we were so thrilled to death to be put together. And God built a beautiful friendship out of that has lasted all this time, just because we stepped forth and answered that call to serve. And what a great reward, besides the reward of making the house of God beautiful and inviting and loving. But that was, for me, a very practical, tangible way that he rewarded me.
So many rewards. And it's not why we do it. Again, you know, we check the motive. But that's the goodness of our Father. You know, we can't outgive him. So, but we were talking last night, and one of the core values at Vista is we're blessed to be a blessing. You know, so it's something always to keep in mind. And just in a few minutes, any little bit of caution in serving, because I think, you know, in all things we do, even good things for the Lord in this broken world, we have to be aware and discerning. So, anybody share caution?
Okay.
Okay, a caution. So I think a caution would be that we keep a loose grip on the things that God does call us to serve in, because our tendency, all of us, our tendency is, especially if we've done it for a while, is that's mine, that's my ministry, that's my calling. And then when things change, or we're not invited in, or we're raising up, because that is a big part of the women's ministry calls. We're always trying to raise up the younger women, because they're going to take over. And so there's always change, and being aware and flexible and yielded to that, and not letting the enemy get in and just rip us off when we're not serving in a place or a way that we want to. Because he's so good at all those fiery darts. So we have to be aware when we step out to serve, there's always warfare. And we need to know how to battle against that. But I would say having a loose grip and remembering, I always have to tell myself this when the Lord strips things from me. You know, he says in John 15 or John 5 that he's the vine dresser, right? And he prunes us. And why? It's so that we will bear more fruit. So it can be painful and hard, and we feel lost and we feel exposed. But then realizing and believing his words that, okay, he's pruning me, not because I'm in trouble or not because I did something wrong, but no, it's for the health of my life, and it's going to bring more fruit, maybe different fruit, maybe fruit in another area of service than before.
I want to make a note on hospitality, because again, that's very key to the family of God and to people. A lot of people walk in these doors and maybe they're not saved yet, or and we can get in our little clusters. And just an encouragement to look around, and you're sitting by somebody you've not seen or you've never talked to before, and how do I start a conversation? And I'm on planes a lot, and I like to share my faith. Key, please write this down. This will get you into a deep conversation in light speed. Just look at them sincerely and say, "So what's your story?" And truthfully, I mean, 5 minutes later, people tell me things that they haven't told their mother. Because everyone has a story, and they want to tell their story. They want to be known. And you can just open that up by letting them introduce themselves. It's so sweet. So the key word is, so what's your story?
Sarah, any final thoughts?
I was just going to say to just keep things aligned at your home. So I'm called to serve my family first, my husband and my daughter and our home. And sometimes when I'm saying yes to everything, something has to go. And unfortunately, sometimes that's first is my home. And so the Lord has just been really faithful to remind me that I need to keep things aligned properly. So it's God and my husband and my children or my child. Oh, wow. Did I just, okay. I don't know. Just to keep things aligned, and don't just, you know, check my heart before I'm just saying yes to everything, to really make sure that I'm having the heart posture of.
So important. Yeah. So there's a theme running through all of this, that it all starts with our humility and our posture before the Lord. Be in his word. Be in still moments with him. Be silent. Be quiet. Don't be telling him all the gifts and talents and all of the things, you know. Just be like, Lord, I'm just on the blank slate. I'm willing. What say you? You know, and then be quiet and let him speak to you. And then all the other parameters, you know, come in too. So, and I think it's just always wise to, just take the pulse sometimes. And, you know, you talked about that, examining our own heart. And, you know, it comes through that grid too, like, am I serving with joy still? Or am I serving and I'm doing everything, but I'm critical and I'm grumbling and I'm complaining and they should do it my way, you know, yada, yada, yada. That goes on because am I content or am I comparing? Am I longing for something that maybe I see someone else doing? Those are all, I think, just really great checks of the heart. If you find yourself in those places, and I've had that several times in the years that I've served the Lord, sometimes he just reprimands me, and it's a moment of confession and repentance. And sometimes he's like, it's the beginning of me stirring you that I'm going to make a change, and it's going to look different. And you shouldn't be grumbling and complaining. I still have to confess that. But it's because I'm holding it so tightly, like Denise was saying. So I think that's a good practice in when we're thinking about serving the Lord. So, the time, it goes so fast. So I think just in a few closing comments, pray, sit with the Lord. Take time over the break to, you know, maybe look at the materials, read through there's, you know, it's 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter are the main verses about the body and the gifts and stuff. But the word is just full of God's grace and his call for us to ladle love. You know, I love that. So, but the key to all of it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And this is God's plan, you know. And Jesus told his followers, I'm leaving. And if I don't leave, I can't send the one who's going to help you, comfort you, teach you, empower you. And it was a promise. And it did come. And we receive the Spirit when we're saved. But there is that be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. And again, this is not anything that we muster in of ourselves. This is a gifting of God. And so as before we leave, and I have a couple announcements right before to let you go, but I wanted to ask Denise to pray for us. And if you would like to, you can sit, you can stand, you can raise your hands. You want to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe you've never been prayed for to receive the Spirit, or you want a fresh filling of the Spirit as you maybe just take this whole topic to the Lord and you want to hear his voice in it. Then let's just take the moment right now to have that prayer before God's throne of grace.
Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, you are so worthy to be praised. You're so worthy to be served. And Lord, we thank you that you have designed the body of Christ and that Jesus is the head and that we're the members of the body, Lord, and we all have our place. And you see us, and you know us, and you've created us. And Lord, we want to honor you with who we are, with our heart, our mind, our soul, our body. Lord, we want to serve you. And we want to follow the example of Christ in humility and in love. And Lord, to do that, we just need more and more of your Holy Spirit filling us, Lord, empowering us. And so, Lord, whether we reach out our hand or we just open up our heart right now to you, Lord, we ask in faith that you would fill us afresh, that if there's anyone here who's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know who they are, Lord, and we pray that you would baptize them, that they would know the boldness that's found in you, the strength, the courage, the equipping that's found in you. Lord, thank you that we don't have to try and do it alone. Thank you that we can't do it alone. Thank you that we get to boast in our weakness, mm-hmm. that your strength would be made perfect in our lives and through our lives, Lord, because it's all about you and it's all for your glory. Yes. And Lord, you tell us that you're a good father and that when we ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, it brings pleasure to you, Lord. You love to give your Holy Spirit to us, Lord. And so we know that there's a smile on your face right now. And Lord, we believe that you will fill us to overflowing, yes. with your abundance and your living water. Lord, have your way in our lives. Help us, Lord, to first and foremost serve you personally with our whole heart. Lord, help us to serve our families. Lord, that mindset would first and foremost be within the walls of our own home. And then, Lord, in this church and out in our community and all the outreach opportunities that are there, Lord, we do this. You tell us that They'll know that we are yours and your disciples by our love and by our good works. And when they see our good works, they're going to glorify you in heaven. And so, Lord, may our lives bring glory to your name. So, Lord, encourage, speak to us, empower us. And we love you and we thank you. We thank you for the women that we've got to study and all that we've learned through their lives, Father. And we know that our lives are also an extension of that story. It's still being written. And we thank you that we're all a part of the story of your goodness and grace. And so we give you our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.